Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Proverbs 31:6, right? I don't believe I have Proverbs in my Bible. Oh, there it is. Small print. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Yeah. Which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard, when thou would arise out of thy sleep? Yeah, amen to that. I guess I'll quit complaining about that extra hour. 1 Corinthians, turn there. Chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like to know where my Bible is. No. Mm-mm. Yeah, who steals a Bible? I didn't take it home. It's wicked. It is wicked. Take a man's Bible, his large print Bible. Wow. There, that's a lot better. No, thanks. I'm good. 1 Corinthians 12. Dealing with spiritual gifts. Should we even talk about this, or should we act like it's not in the Bible? Let's talk about it. Let's teach on it. Let's see what good things God has in store for us. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And just wouldn't we admit the things about the Bible and things about God that we don't know? And God chooses to reveal them to us. First of all, we do see them in nature. There's no doubt about it. God, the Romans chapter 1 says, for he has displayed himself in the things that are seen. He is the invisible God. We can't see him, but he reveals himself in the things that are made. But also he reveals himself through his word, through the words of his Bible. And so the Bible says, verse 4, I want to pick it up here in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And as we're going through this list, and as we're talking about this, I want you to think of your body. Think of your physical body. You have many members in one brain. You have many parts of your body. Some of them you think about. Some of them you never think about. You never do. Unless something goes wrong with it, and you have to go have it cut on or something like that. But there are parts of our body that operate that we never think about, we'll never see, but it's all members of the same body in one mind. My liver does not do what my lungs do. Does it make my liver less important? Does it make my lungs more important? My left hand cannot do what my right hand can do. That doesn't make this unnecessary, because it cannot do what this can do. If I throw with my right hand, I throw like a man. If I throw with my left hand, I throw like a girl. Okay? Can't do it. I shouldn't get rid of my left hand, though. Because if I swing a bat or a golf club, right, Gary? Yes, sir. Got to have the left hand, don't you? Because that's what makes that ball go way off over here in the woods. The left hand. So think about that as we go through this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Think about this. God calls some men to be pastors, bishops over a church. God calls some to be missionaries. God did not call me to be a missionary. He did not equip me to be a missionary. He did not train me to be a missionary. That's why I look up to missionaries. For somebody to be able to do that is just way out of my league. For somebody to just pack up, leave everything they've ever known, go to a foreign land, foreign customs, weird food, in some cases, peril of their own lives. I have known and spoken to missionaries who have had guns to their head. Okay? God didn't call me for that. But these people are my heroes. But God didn't call everybody to be missionaries, pastors, teachers, Sunday school teachers. He didn't call everybody to sing. Didn't call everybody to do what everybody else is doing. And likewise, it doesn't call all churches the same. Some churches are good at bus ministries, some are not. Some churches are good at soul winning, knocking doors, some are not. Some churches are good at one thing or another. And God does not make us all out of the same cookie cutter. But it is all the same spirits, the same God. It's the same Bible. It's the same word. That's what he's teaching you. So diversities of operations, it's the same God. And I pointed out last week that verses 4, 5, and 6, the Spirit, the Lord, and God, this is the Godhead. You have the Holy Spirit in verse 4, you have the Lord Jesus in verse 5, and you have God the Father in verse 6. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful the way the Bible is laid out. If you'll just pay attention to it, you'll see it. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And let me go back to verse 4, 5, and 6. Never, 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 never does either the Lord or the Spirit or God the Father operate against the other. Never. 1 John 5, 7, these three are one. That's why when Jesus came down to the earth, he did his Father's will. You know why? Because they're one. I and the Father are one. And he asked the Father in John 17, make them one as we are one. And so they are different, and yet they are the same. They never operate against one another. Jesus has not failed in what God sent him forth to do, being the Word of God. The Word of God does not fail. Jesus did not fail. The Spirit does not act in opposition to Jesus Christ, nor the will of the Father. It never does. The Spirit does not act in opposition to the Word of God. It does not happen. They are all the same. So we have, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And I want you to notice verse 7. It's very, very interesting words here. Manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit. We're going to go through a list of ways that the Holy Spirit will manifest itself. Let me just run down in my mind a list of ways that the Holy Spirit does not, N-O-T, all capital letters, the way the Holy Spirit does not manifest itself. Number one, the Holy Spirit does not manifest itself in drunken convulsions in a church service. Big amen. Does not do it that way. Drunkenness is the biblical opposite of biblical sobriety. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil. The Bible teaches us to be sober, to be sober, to be sober, to be sober-minded, to be sober. Not to be drunk, ever. That is not a good morning, Phil and Sherry. That is not a manifestation of the Spirit, right? Yeah. You don't even know what I said. Drunkenness, being slain in the Spirit, is not of the Holy Spirit. It's not from God. Stop and think about what this is. Now, just kind of put your mind around this. Let's just use their terminology, slain. You know what that word means? Murdered. Murdered. In the Spirit. Now your spirit is what? Dead. That does not sound like the act of the living God. My spirit does not die. Amen. It's not the work of the Holy Spirit. That is not how He's manifested Himself. The Holy Spirit does not operate through tongues all over the building all at once. He does not operate that way. Amen. If you go to a church service and that's what you hear, leave. It's not the Holy Spirit. And if it's not the Holy Spirit, you have to ask yourself the question, what spirit is it? What is it? Because if it's not the Holy Spirit, it's another one. It's another spirit. But people label it as the Holy Spirit. I don't know if that is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That there is a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It is unforgivable. I don't know that that's what that is. But I wouldn't mess with the Holy Spirit. Amen? By the way, all these red-headed cardinals are walking into the conclave this week, and they're all talking publicly about how the Holy Spirit is going to lead them to the next pope. He's not. He's not. You know how I know? Number one, they're idol worshipers. And number two, it's not the Holy Spirit that drives the papal conclave. It's politics. Just like Washington, D.C., it's politics, pure and simple. It's who's got enough votes to decide how we're going to get our agenda done in the Catholic Church. Catholic Church is power. You need to understand that. Okay? It is a lot of power. Worldwide power. And these people don't give up power easily. It's just like what goes on in Washington, D.C. If you get somebody who says, I'm not going to vote for that, if they ended up voting for it, guess what? Somebody offered them something. They didn't give that away for free. Rod Blagojevich is in jail for it. Because he actually got caught saying, I'm not going to give this up for free. He actually got caught saying it. But every elected official knows that if you want to get my vote, you're going to have to give me something because I don't give it away for free. It has nothing to do with the Holy Spirit, by the way. So anyway, the Holy Ghost does not manifest itself in women preachers or women pastors or women bishops. That is not the Holy Ghost. It's not. Because the Holy Ghost does not act in contradiction to the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Does not act in contradiction to that. And so that is not the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. There is all kinds of things that we're seeing now. Animal manifestations, people being taken over by a spirit and acting as if they were a certain animal. No. As I said before, people acting drunk, chaos and bedlam and pandemonium in church services, that is not the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So he's going to teach you how the Holy Spirit is manifested. How the Holy Spirit is going to be shown and revealed to be in a person's life. So he says in verse 8, now we're going to list these tangible, seeable manifestations of the Spirit. Because anybody can say, I have the Spirit living in me. But you and I both know that a person must manifest certain fruit. Certain things will be shown. Certain things will be revealed. So, 4:1 in verse 8 is given. Underline the word given. Because it's a gift. It's not of works. It can't be bought. Amen? Can't buy it. You can't offer more money to the church. And the church give you a high position in the church of power and authority. You cannot receive the gifts of the Spirit by paying money. They cannot be bought with that. Because then The gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit would only go to the rich, never to the poor. God has a sense of humor against rich people. He likes to give to poor people what they can never afford. It's what he likes to do. So he gives by the Spirit what he refers to as the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom. Someone tell me what you think that is. And I'm not trying to set you up. It's not a trick question. So don't think that I'll ridicule you. What is it, Brian? Say it out loud. There's a microphone right up there. The word of God. Okay? The word of God. Now, let me read something here. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. Boy, I tell you what, I have had some very, very interesting studies this week. Very, very, very interesting. I'd turn there if I could see it. What happened to my Bible? I don't know what happened to my Bible. Revelation 22. What's the last chapter of the whole Bible? Revelation 22. Is there anything after that? If I were to go upstairs and get the Book of Mormon that I keep up on the desk up there, can I add that to it?
No.
Why not?
Well,
how do you know that?
Because this is the word of God, and that's not.
You know, it doesn't have to be complicated. Amen? Guy's convinced. This is it right here. See, it says, the end, at my Bible. Right? It says, the end. Here's why it says, the end, at the end of your Bible. Let's go to verse 17 of Revelation 22. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man, how many men? Every one of them, that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall do what? Add unto these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. It's plain and simple. Now I'm going to go back to this idea of contract law, because as I learn more about contracts, because the New Testament and the Old Testament are exactly that. They're covenants, they're contracts. And something I was just looking at yesterday and the day before, Friday and Saturday, there is actual, in the Old Testament, there was actually a time when the Israelites signed the Old Testament. Okay, they actually signed it. They all spoke with one voice and saying, everything that you have said, we will do. In other words, God laid out the law and said, do this, do this, do this, do this, do this. And if you do it, you'll have eternal life. If you don't do it, you're going to go to hell. And so the Israelites agreed to that covenant, that contract. They said, all that you have said, we will do. That's their agreement. That's their consent. That's their signing of the contract. If you have a contract and it only has one signature on it, is it valid? No. The other party didn't sign it. That means that they did not agree to it. So it's invalid. So I'm going to ask you a question. When you got saved, which contract did you consent to? Which one did you agree to? The new one. You did not agree and sign on and consent to the old one. See how simple that is? I am not under the terms of the old covenant because I did not consent to it. I did not agree to that. I was offered two contracts. I took the new one. Okay? Now, I am under obligation to that new one to do what the terms are under that new contract, or I will be in breach of that contract. But as far as the old covenant is concerned, I am not under those terms. I did not consent to it. You cannot make out a law. Sterling, and your renter, you cannot make out a lease or dig up a lease that you had 20 years ago that actually works better for you. You cannot take up a lease that you had 20 years ago, sign it, and then take your renter to court over it. Because the judge is going to say, what are you here for? Well, that's my covenant with that. That's my lease agreement. Well, they didn't sign it. Yeah, but it's the way I want it. They don't care. They didn't sign it. They didn't agree to that. They agreed to this one here. You see how simple this is when you think about it? Okay? But anyway, this covenant that is between us and God, this new covenant, this new testament, it is between us and God. It is the one that you and I agreed to. Amen? We agreed. We consented with God. And we have the seal of our consent to this record. And the seal of our consent is the seal of the earnest of the Holy Spirit that is in us. There are to be no more words added to this contract. If anything that Kenneth Copeland said that God told him outside of the boundaries of this new covenant, this new testament, if God holds me to anything that Kenneth Copeland said, I will sue God. And win. I don't know whose court we'd go to because his is the highest court. But that's my point. Kenneth Copeland said they'd had a conversation with God, and God told him that Kenneth Copeland could have died on the cross. That's what he said. That was his words. Kenneth, that is outside of the boundaries of this paper. And I did not consent to that. I did not agree to it. Now, I'm going to say this. This is going to sound mean, but it's you think about it. Those who follow Kenneth Copeland are in breach of this contract. Whew. You know what that means? The contract promises eternal life. If they are in breach of this contract, what does that mean to them, Amanda? They're not getting eternal life. Because clearly it says, verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Whew. That's pretty serious. That would be like you signing a contract, and in the small print, you bought a car, and they said, if you don't pay on time at the 10th of every month, if you're a day late, not only are we coming to get your car, we get to clean out your bank account. We own your house, and we can have your kids. And some of you are going, you can have the kids. Come on, honey, let's go.
Mike, what about 19? Don't that tell you right there about the other book?
Yeah. It says, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. I'm going to tell you something. I don't like talking like this because I used to read the NIV with missing stuff out of it. But here's the contract. Here's what you agreed to. This was the covenant between you and God. This was the agreement. And if God were to come along and add another testament to the contract, you're not bound by it. Sue God, and you'll win. Because it's His law. Not even God can break His law. By the way, God never breaks the law. Don't think about that. Even when you eat shellfish and pork, or if you're selfish with your pork, when you eat that, God's not breaking the law, neither you. If it is received with thanksgiving and prayer, for it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. That's why you ought to pray when you eat. God does not break his own law. He does not violate his own conditions, his own contract, his own covenant. He fulfilled the old. It's all fulfilled. Now we have a new. And when it comes to this word of wisdom, let me tell you what this looks like. You watch Pat Robertson on the 700 Club. And at the end of the show, Pat, who they really need to put this guy in an old folks home. He's getting embarrassing. Okay? He's said some stupid things here lately. Okay? And I'm sure his son and some of the other people are going, what are we going to do with the old man? Okay? Whereas Noah Hutchings of Southwest Radio, they just had, what birthday was it? 90th birthday or something like that. He still does radio interviews and everything like that. Writes books and everything. Bless his heart. But anyway, Pat Robertson gets on his show at the end. They said, now, we're going to go into prayer now. There's a woman in Tulsa right now. You're having back problems. How many of you think that probably there's 100% chance that there's a woman in Tulsa, Oklahoma that's having back problems? I bet you could go in and get a Tulsa phone book and call. Make 5 phone calls, and between the first and the fifth one, you'll nail that gal. Is there anybody, any woman in your house back problems? Yes, sir, I got them. See? He was right. There are other people who try to manifest these special gifts. And I will just tell you that anyone who runs around saying, oh, wait a minute, God's giving me a word. Oh, I'm getting a word from God now. Hold on. Sambalatoya, Toyota diesel. Okay? They will, and they put on a show. You know what that's for? That's for you. That's for you to look at them and go, oh, they're getting from God. They must be holy people. I will tell you that the more sin in a church member's life, the more show they're going to put on about how holy and spiritual they are. This is why I like to keep this church honest. And we got 4 cameras on right now, and I'm not interested in what show we put on. I couldn't care less. What I'm interested in is us being honest and forthright with God and with ourselves and with our brothers and sisters here and with these people out here. These people out here that watch this, they need to know that we're the real deal. Because they're counting on us to be the real deal. So these manifestations that you have going on in all these churches and all that, that's a bunch of garbage. That's nonsense. Those are people who are in the process of rejecting the contract. Don't forget that. Let me explain to you where I'm going with this. Let's read these, and I'm going to tell you where I'm going with this. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, diverse kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Take your Bible. Turn over to, what is that, chapter 12? Look at chapter 13. Look at verse 9. No, go back to verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall what? Whether there be knowledge, it shall. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now here's the question. Did Paul receive words of wisdom from Jesus Christ prior to writing his epistles? The answer is yes. Did Stephen see a vision of Jesus at the right hand of God as they were stoning him? Yes. Were there prophets, New Testament prophets, in with the apostles in these times in the book of Acts? Yes. Was there even a prophetess or two? Yes, there were. No doubt about it. I don't dispute any of that. But I want to ask you a question. Is your Bible perfect? See, this is where the separation comes in. I believe my Bible's perfect. I believe it does not need help from me. So I believe that if I'm to get a word of wisdom, there is no greater source of wisdom than this. It does not exist. No greater source of wisdom. In fact, I want to hear you. I want to hear what wisdom you come up with. And I challenge you on your wisdom to come up with something as wise as what this Bible is. Our wisdom, and I don't care if you've been around 70, 80 years, our wisdom that we come up with is foolishness in the eyes of God. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. Amen? But these people, they're getting extra, what they're doing is that they're getting extra biblical chapters and verses from God outside of the boundaries of this piece of paper right here. They're getting extra biblical chapters and verses that are not part of the wisdom that are in this Bible. And so you know what? The Bible says, test the spirits. And so anybody who would dare say, God's given me now a word of wisdom. Oh, let me tell you the word now. Here, hang on, here it comes. It's downloading. 50%, 80%, done. Let me give you this word of wisdom now that God has now transferred to my brain. I'd like to hear it because I want to know if it sounds as smart as what this Bible says. And it won't be. I don't trust men. I don't trust this man. People have asked me about dreams and visions. I've had a few of those. Wrote them down. I don't trust them. And if I stood up here and told you that I had some prophetic dream, how do you know I did, Wayne? Can you tell what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of a cheeseburger. I'm not thinking you look like a cheeseburger. That's just what I was saying. I'm just saying to you, I don't trust. You don't impress me. I used to get impressed by that stuff. I don't get impressed anymore because men are liars. How many men are liars? How do I know that somebody said, no, wait a minute, I got a word for this. No, you need to hear this. God wants you to hear this. If you don't hear this, He's going to judge you. No, He's not. Because I don't know that you're lying through your teeth. I don't know you. I don't know where you got that from. But if you want a word of wisdom, and as part of my pastoral duties, people will come to me and say, Mike, I need help. I need some advice here. I did not go to psychology school. I did not go to counseling and therapy school. I did not go to any of that stuff. The only thing that I know how to do with people is if they come and they sit down and say, Pastor, I need help with this. I need some advice on this. Then I'll just hang on a sec. And if God will do this, and a lot of times He does, God will just pull verses of Scripture out of my mind. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says here. Let me get you to read this. And if I don't have an answer for them, and sometimes I'll be going, wow, boy, you are in trouble.
What you're going to do. But you know what I'll do? I'll tell them. Go to the book of Psalms and start reading. Go to the book of Psalms and start reading. Or wherever God tells you to do, because your answer is in this book right here.
And it will not fail. It will not fail. It will never, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This Bible will never fail you. And if you come to me and you need words of wisdom, I'm going to give you what this Bible says, because I guarantee you, and I've said this before, this Bible is not just the book of life, it is the book of your life. There is not one issue of life that this Bible does not cover and deal with. Not one. There is no new thing under the sun. You don't have a new problem that God has not already reconciled in this book. The fact is, you and I have a greater gift than what the apostles had in their day. And Peter said so. He said, I heard the voice of God, but you have a more sure word of prophecy. Peter himself said that we today have a greater gift than they did in the apostles' days, and that is the written record of the word of God. Why don't we trust this book? And so I've laid the case. Next week, I'm just going to show you the wisdom that's in this Bible. Okay? So anyway, listen, you may not struggle with this doctrine. I guarantee you there's 1,000 people out here that do. Because they've been hit from these wackos telling them they're not really saved unless they operate in these gifts. Start operating. You start operating in this book. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, dear God, for your doctrine, for your teaching, and the wisdom, God, that you satisfy our soul with. Lord, there is nothing in this world greater than the written word of God. We thank you, dear God, for it. We ask you to bless it and honor it in our lives. And Father, Lord, use this for your kingdom to spread this wisdom. God, the most foolish person in this church house is wise when they read and believe the word of God. Lord, just bless this book, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins, And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.